Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
One of the most memorable political scandals of all time, the so-called Profumo affair of 1963. At the heart of the scandal was the fact that the UK Secretary of State for War, John Profumo, had an affair with the same young woman, Christine Keeler, as a Soviet naval attaché to the UK. Profumo initially denied the affair, but eventually confessed and resigned. Keeler was sentenced to 9 months in prison after she was found to have committed perjury in a separate trial. Christine Keeler died 4 years ago, but now her son, who has lived in Longford for 15 years, is campaigning for his mother to be pardoned by the Queen. In the coming weeks, his legal team will submit a request to the Lord Chief Justice of England and Wales. And Christine Keeler's son, Seymour Platt, joins me now on the line. Seymour, you're very welcome to the programme.
Oh, no, thanks so much for having me on. Thank you.
Now, an awful lot of people will remember the Profumo affair or will have read or heard about it, which was dramatised, especially last year, by the BBC. But your mother's perjury conviction was entirely separate from that. Remind us of what she was exactly convicted of.
Well, it's interesting because it was separate but linked. Christine's story in 1963, she had two big stories. One of her stories was the famous Profumo scandal, where she had the affair with John Profumo, and he had to resign. A separate story, running in parallel, was she was being harassed and stalked, and on occasion raped by a man called Lucky Gordon. Came to a head in 1963 when Lucky Gordon assaulted her in, outside a friend's flat. She'd had enough, she called the police. It was the eighth time the police had been called in connection with Lucky Gordon molesting or assaulting her. When the police arrived, two witnesses that she was with, two West Indian men, they said, look, we don't want anything to do with this. This isn't our problem. We don't want anything to do with the police. We're married. So they went and hid. And Christine had an awful decision that she had to make. She had to make a decision as to whether or not she carried on and told the police that she'd been assaulted by Lucky and didn't mention the witnesses. Or she dropped the case because these witnesses were not stepping forward. They were not going to help her.
Mm-hmm.
And she made the decision that she had to tell the police that she'd been assaulted by Lucky and tell the truth, but she made the decision not to mention the witnesses. And that came back to bite her because she went to court. Lucky Gordon was convicted for assaulting her. He admitted it in court that he'd assaulted her. And then a few months later, a few weeks later, he was released immediately before a really big trial with Stephen Ward, and Christine was then arrested shortly after the Stephen Ward case for perjury and trying to change the course of justice.
Okay, so that was the context of what actually happened, but of course it was twisted and manipulated to vilify your mother and paint her and portray her in a certain way over many, many years, nearly 60 years, about 60 years now. And I gather now that you're on the mission to overturn that conviction or to clear her name at least. And
it is.
The Queen is the only person who can pardon her, is that right?
That's the way it works in the UK. So to get a free pardon, because the Queen is head of state, what we're doing is we're getting a really complicated big document together and giving it to the Justice Secretary, and then it's up to him to instruct the Queen as to whether or not she should issue a free pardon. And when I started this about a year ago, I thought it'd be, I didn't think it would be as big and a complicated thing as we've done, but we've got this 60-page document with all of the proof. And one of the things which has really helped us with this is that it's so well documented. So in 1963, because Christine had the affair with Jack Profumo, and because that had come out, she was living in a bubble and under a microscope. Everything she did was recorded. And also, there were four massive court cases in 1963 that centered around Christine. One of them was the Lucky Gordon court case. There was the Stephen Ward court case. And there was her court case. And there was an earlier one with a chap called Johnny Edgecombe. So in 1963, she was in the Old Bailey for the whole of the year.
Wow. And that must have taken some toll.
And it did, you see. So by December 1963, Chris had done an entire year of being in court. She'd seen Stephen Ward convicted for being living off of moral earnings. And I think she'd lost all faith in the justice, criminal justice system. She faced what a lot of women face even today, where she realised the justice system was completely failing her. She'd been assaulted by a man.
She felt that, Seymour, until the end, did she? I mean,
she did.
Why are you on this quest, on this mission now? Is this something that you want to do yourself, posthumously, for your mother? Or is it something that she wanted you to do?
It's a bit of both. I think in Chris's will, in my mum's will, she asked me to tell the truth about the story of her life. And because she always felt that it hadn't been told. And then there were a couple of things that happened at the beginning of last year. There was the drama, obviously, that happened at the beginning of last year. Mm-hmm. And then I had a writer who contacted me saying that they were writing a story about Chris and they wanted to get my take. Why was that Christine lied about being assaulted? And I said, well, she didn't lie about being assaulted. She was assaulted. The police said she was assaulted. All the witnesses said she was assaulted. Lucky Gordon admitted that he assaulted her in court. You know, it occurred to me that there's a bigger issue here where with Chris and all of the women involved at the time, it was just presumed that they lied about everything.
And those labels, they seem to have stuck, have they, over many, many years? Nearly 60 years now. It's incredible.
Nearly 60 years.
I mean, the labels, and I say this respectfully, and I don't mean to be hurtful to you or to damage your mother's reputation in any way. And she passed away 4 years ago, I know. But the labels that she, the allegation that she was a prostitute or that she was a good time girl and the way she was portrayed in media over many, many years, whenever the story came up, that must have really hurt Christine Keeler over many years, doesn't it?
Well, it did. And the trouble with a perjury conviction is that your right for your right to see somebody is gone because you're already a convicted liar in the eyes of the law. So people can actually say anything they want about you. It also means that they can dismiss anything that you say about history and what happened. Chris found that really difficult. A lot of people believe that, you know, Chris would have found being called a prostitute probably the hardest thing. She did in 1963, but as she got older, being found guilty and going to prison for perjury was by far a greater yoke that she carried, because suddenly her good name and reputation was absolutely destroyed.
And I know she visited you in your house. You live in Longford, don't you?
I do, yeah.
But she visited you. Did she talk about that period in her life much?
Oh, of course. And she'd always be saying all my life, you know, Seymour, she'd say, I should never have gone to prison. And I don't think I really understood what she meant by that. I didn't have the maturity, and it wasn't, I don't think, until the drama came out recently, and I really did have to go back and reassess, and I did feel that there was an injustice. It was the first time with the BBC drama that they dramatised what happened to Chris when she went to court, and they dramatised that she was assaulted by Lucky Gordon, and yet she was the one who went to prison. And I also think that message is a terrible message for even women today, that a woman could be assaulted by a man and go to court and be the one who gets sent to prison.
Yeah, it resonates in a different way today, doesn't it?
It does.
The story of your mother. Come here to me. The reason we're speaking to you partly is that you have spoken about your campaign today in the Irish Times in the property supplement, because you're leaving Longford. You're selling your house in Longford now.
Not leaving Longford.
No, okay.
I absolutely love Longford. I have fantastic neighbours, and I'll fall out with all of them if you say I'm leaving Longford.
Well, apologies, mea culpa. It's me who made that mistake. I don't want to be committed of any perjury or stating falsity.
We've been in this. We've got an old cottage, and we've done it up over about 4 years. And it's sort of time for us to have a new project. And we were thinking to ourselves, well, we've got nothing else on at the moment. So what with trying to get a pardon for my mum and there being a mass pandemic, let's also sell the house.
Yeah, okay. Well, so that's what you're doing. You're selling your house in Longford. You're staying in Longford. I used to live near Longford for many years, so I know it's a beautiful part of the country. Look, we'll talk to you as your mission, your quest, your campaign to clear your mother's name progresses, and we'll see how it goes. The best of luck with it. And it's a pleasure, I must say, to talk to you. Seymour Platt, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much. Thank you.